It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Apparently we will, on a sunny Sunday afternoon when we all should be with our families. How you doing, Will?
So you recommended I volunteer for an event.
I did, and it was an event that I thought you may enjoy volunteering for.
I have never volunteered for anything in my life.
All right, listen, I'm not asking you to give blood.
You son of a bitch, you're asking me to volunteer at an AFI dinner honoring Mel Brooks.
Why is this so difficult? Basically, you will be given free food, free booze, and have the opportunity to, at the very least, see many of your comedy heroes, and then see Mel Brooks not only feted and roasted, but also watch him give a speech in his own honor.
That's what's bothering me so much, is that I don't know why I'm bothered. I should jump at this, but whenever I hear the word, "You gotta volunteer for this," every bone in my body says, don't do it.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you will remember to the end of time, and you're whining about it.
I'm sure we'll have a great time.
It's going to be awesome. I'm very excited. And honestly, it's going to be special. There's no other way to describe
it. Mel Brooks is one of the funniest people to ever live. It's going to be a thrill to see him. But I don't care, kids. Don't volunteer for shit. That's what your Uncle Will says.
And Uncle Sean says, only volunteer for the good stuff.
What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
I don't know. It's been like 2 days since we did this.
We're recording. This is a special episode that we're recording on a Sunday, on Mother's Day, in the morning. Not since the very first episode of Will Sean Podcast have we recorded a morning
episode. Even the other solo episodes? We've done those at night.
In the afternoons.
Yeah, so I got nothing to report. It's just, you know the drill, people. We had a lot of great feedback on last week's episode with Tara Price. Tara Price. Lots of people saw it. Lots of people responded to it. So just keep that momentum going.
And who's our sponsor this week?
This week's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com for when you have a podcast deadline and no real company will sponsor you. Stamps.com, because we all hate going to the post office.
It was about time they got around to sponsor us. They sponsor every other podcast, so I'm glad they're here.
Audible is right in the wings.
On the show today, it's our summer movie preview. Now you say, wait a second, the summer started 2 weeks ago with Iron Man 3 and this past weekend with Gatsby. Well, we'll get to why we delayed in a minute, but it has nothing to do with an obscure Jewish holiday, which, by the way, I mentioned to a fan of the podcast the other day that we were recording this, and they asked, since it was because of this obscure Jewish holiday, if you could do us a really brief Sean Jewish corner.
Yes, the holiday is called Shavuot, or Tabernacles. It's 50 days after Passover, and it basically commemorates when the Jews got the Torah. So if you say, if Passover is a holiday when we left Egypt, 50 days later in the Sinai Desert is when God on Mount Sinai gave Moses the Torah for the first time, and then he smashed the tablets, side note. Yeah. So that's what this holiday commemorates. And we celebrate it by staying up all night learning, and for some strange reason, eating dairy products, which does wonders to the digestive system of Eastern European Jews everywhere.
Every night I spend learning and eating dairy products.
True. Nothing better than just running between lectures and the bathroom.
Well, it is the summer movie season, and last week we talked about Iron Man 3, and last week you talked about Gatsby and how much you enjoyed it. And I'll tell you what, you were 100% right on Gatsby. I fucking love this film. It's all hypnotic visuals and raw emotion, and I was really taken with it.
It's a fun movie, and it's ballsy, and it's also unlike anything you've seen in a long time. It kind of carves out its own territory and and just goes there 100% and without any reservations.
And Leo was great. I even liked all the anachronistic music stuff. Most of them. Sometimes a little
it's bit. It works.
Some of the Jay-Z stuff, I'm like, okay, another Jay-Z song.
It's about 80% effective.
The Lana Del Rey song was great.
Beautiful, and it kept being played. I love the scene when they're going through the mansion and he's doing the look at all my shit.
Yeah.
Segment. Throw in shirts.
And the Lana Del Rey song, Young and Beautiful, has been stuck in my head ever since. And all I knew of Lana Del Rey before was just her being lazy on SNL. So.
And on the Kevin and Bean show, being a dick. And if you want to get Will a present, buy him copy of the Great Gatsby soundtrack for his not birthday, for Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day. Yeah, that sounds like a good thing. So let's go with the movies that have not come out yet. And May 17th, the weekend this episode goes up, we got Star Trek Into Darkness.
And this essentially is J.J. Abrams' submission. This was his demo reel to get the Star Wars job, I believe. I'm excited for this film, but I'm not hearing... It's already open internationally. A lot of people have seen it.
There's not a lot of buzz.
There's not a lot of buzz, which makes me think that it's just a very effective and good movie, but nothing groundbreaking, and not the way the first Star Trek reboot was. So I think it's going to be a good movie, but I think it's going to be a little forgettable.
I think you're right. I don't think it's going to be as good as the last one, which was kind of... You know, it was kind of a reintroduction to all these characters you've loved over the years. All I hear about this movie is Cumberbatch. Benedict Cumberbatch. That's all anyone... I'm kind of sick of it.
Benedict Cumberbatch, who is in the BBC Sherlock, which is on PBS, is an amazing actor who basically came out of nowhere, and he's absolutely magnetic, but, you know, this is his first movie, and they cast him based on his television strength, and they've been marketing him very hard, but I don't think the audiences really know who Benedict Cumberbatch is.
He's on Sherlock, he was in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. That's about it.
And he was, what, like the fourth lead in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
Yeah, he had a lot of stuff to do, but nobody knew who he was.
And so he played a cavalry officer in War Horse. He was the one that screamed, "Be brave! Be brave!"
So, they're riding a little too hard on Cumberbatch, but you know, he does play...
Someone.
Should I say who he plays?
Only if you say it like Shatner.
The fact that I know who he plays makes me feel like it's not a spoiler. I'm just going to say it.
Say it.
Khan. He plays Khan.
You know, he sounds like one of Peter Rabbit's friends with the name Benedict Cumberbatch. You half expect him to have a little waistcoat and a pocket watch.
I'll tell you
what. And live in a warren.
He doesn't look like Ricardo Montalban, I'll say
he
that.
He does not. He's So we'll see. I think it's going to be a good movie, but I don't think it's going to be like the first Star Trek.
But you're in, I'm in, we're in for this. Okay. Moving on to Memorial Day weekend. And this is actually a pretty big Memorial Day weekend.
This Memorial Day weekend will probably kill me.
You have Fast and the Furious 6. And The Hangover Part 3. Now, my question is, which one of these box office titans will win the weekend?
I don't know, because they're going after the same audience. They're both going after young men age 18 to 34. I honestly think that Fast Furious is going to edge it out, because I think that's got more of a female following. As counterintuitive as it sounds, I think more women will want to see that. And I think Hangover lost a little goodwill with the second one.
Well, you know what's funny? I've actually never seen a Fast and Furious film.
Really? They're so much fun. They are... It's the franchise that knows exactly what it is and delivers the goods consistently.
If I jump into Fast 6, will I be lost?
Completely.
I'll never know.
Ironically, though, if you jump into Season 6 of Lost, you'll know exactly what's going on.
All the deep mythology of the Fast and the Furious films will be go over my head.
I say you start watching them, this whole week. You catch up on the series.
It's interesting to say, because I do think you're right. The Fast and the Furious films, from what I hear, have only gotten stronger as they've gone on. And Hangover 2 was just a retread of the Hangover. We saw it together, and I think you said right afterwards you could put both movies on simultaneously and they'd hit all the same beats.
And that being said, it looks like they're aware of that, and it looks like this film is going in a different direction. And, you know, it looks like they're in Mexico, they're back in Vegas. I don't know, the whole movie looks like just a big Ken Jeong plot. I don't know what's going on with this film.
It doesn't even look like they've gotten drunk in this one.
Well, Justin Bartha gets kidnapped again. We'll see. You know, there's a giraffe who dies.
But you're seeing both.
Not only am I... Well, no, I think I'm going to go try and see The Hangover, because Fast 6, I feel... Hangover 3, as weird as it sounds, I want to see how they wrap things up.
Yeah.
There isn't as much narrative pressure on Fast 6. I feel like I can catch that a little bit later.
I'm with you. I mean, Hangover 3, it's funny because I do feel like I've seen these other... And I do like these guys enough. And I am curious to see if they do answer some of the problems we had with Hangover 2.
This is the pressing question of our decade. What happens to the Wolfpack? That being said, as I mentioned before, Memorial Day weekend will probably kill me. Not only do you have these two films, but you also have Midnight of That Night is Arrested Development drops on Netflix. Also, At 5 a.m. Sunday morning, I have the Monaco Grand Prix to watch, so I will not be getting any sleep Saturday night or most of Sunday.
This is a rough weekend for you.
But thankfully, we have Monday off to recover and rewatch all of the rest of development again.
Which I'm sure that will be a topic on next week's Will Show and Podcast.
I can't fucking wait.
Also that weekend, there's an animated film. I guess this is the counter-programming. It's called Epic. And I got a bone to pick with this movie, which is the only reason I've included it here, because we're not seeing this movie.
Nope.
The trail, it's like this girl gets shrunk, and she's with these people who live in the forest, and like tiny little microscopic people. And
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Basically, except like stupid. And here's what bothers me about this movie. The trailer has all this dramatic music, and it's like,
there's a warrior.
And it's like, and then you got fucking talking slugs, cracking jokes.
Voiced by Aziz Ansari.
And I don't understand the tone of this trailer. I just want this movie to come out so I never have to see any trailer for it again. I hate this.
This is just, this is symptomatic of a bigger issue with these big budget animated films. This is done by Blue Sky, the people behind Ice Age. Yeah. And those films.
Which I don't think are all that great.
No. The biggest problem with animated films is that they're trying to pull in everybody, and because these movies cost so much, they need to appeal to the widest audience. It's basically what Shrek did, and every animated film since then has been copying that formula. And you broaden your tone so much that you end up watering down the film, and it's nothing. It appeals to nobody. This movie, it reminds me of that Rise of the Guardians that came out last year from DreamWorks, yeah. Which was the same thing, where they tried to make this big, rousing, epic film starring the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, but there were all these broad gags, and the movie bombed, and no one ended up going. So screw you, animated films.
I wonder if their hope is that while all the adults go into Hangover 3, they leave the kids in Epic for 2 hours.
I don't know what their hope is, but this movie is going to bomb, and maybe it's a stinker, and they just buried it knowing that this is going to bomb, so...
Speaking of things that I think might bomb, May 31st, they moved it up a week, because, you know, they got to get it to us sooner. May 31st, Will Smith and his wiener kid star in M. Night Shyamalan's After Earth. Now, you've seen the trailer. Just tell people what this looks like it's about.
It looks like a bunch of over-serious future people go on Earth... And Will Smith delivers long monologues into his son's headset while they run away from, I don't know, feathered velociraptors and monkeys.
And survive. It's about survival.
Fear is ever present. Hope is a choice. Running is imperative. I don't know what this movie looks like, a lecture set to a green screen.
I think this is going to bomb. I don't think it's going to do well.
Well, I think it's fascinating that they're not even mentioning M. Night's name. I was speaking to someone the other day who was well-versed on movies, and they didn't even know that this was an M. Night film. They are burying that deep into the overgrown foliage that is Earth.
Remember when M. Night was like in Time Magazine? They said, the next Spielberg? How's that working out for
you? Yeah, M. Night. You know what? The only fact that makes me feel this could be somewhat decent is that Will Smith kind of controls his own product and is so protective over his own brand that he wouldn't necessarily be. When was the last time Will Smith really had a bomb of a film?
7 Pounds.
But that wasn't a big.
Yeah, right. That wasn't a big.
Like Wild Wild West. I mean, Will Smith is very savvy about his career, and to drag his kid into this. That being said, the movie still has that M. Night portentousness, that woodenness. It looks stiff.
The trailer even has a twist. We're on Earth.
But you know what? They get that out right at the beginning. It doesn't look fun.
No.
I don't know. But they've already greenlit the sequel.
It's really?
They're into development on the sequel, so which lets you know that someone survives.
What's after Earth?
After Earth Squared.
It might actually end up doing all right because it's the big movie that comes out that weekend, and the weekend after it, there's nothing really big.
And I feel like they're going to trick.
Why they moved it up a
weekend. They're going to trick a lot of Will Smith's fans to go see this until they realize it's a stinker. But who knows?
That weekend, instead, I'm thinking of seeing Now You See Me, where our year of magician films continues.
What other magician films are there? What are you talking about?
Burt Wonderstone.
That was a thing.
It's the year of magicians, Sean.
The year is of the Prestige too? No, I thought the year of the Prestige and the Illusionist came out was the year of magicians.
That was the year. Well, it didn't stick. That was the year of antiquated magicians. These are
old-time
age magicians.
So what's Now You See Me?
I don't really know, but I'm kind of intrigued by the trailer. It's these magicians played by Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson.
Oh, is this like a heist film?
And these magicians rob things using magic. And I actually am watching the trailer. I want to know whether it's real magic or
illusion.
A trick.
Yeah. Will, illusion.
I'm very curious.
Wait, is this the same? I mean, this sounds like a Zombieland
We also got
reunion.
Michael Caine, and you got Morgan Freeman, and
so basically, they took The Illusionist and The Prestige and Zombieland, and they mashed them up, and they just shit all over each other.
Probably.
Okay. Is Emma Stone anywhere to be found in these films?
Ilsa Fisher.
Isla.
Isla Fisher.
She's not Emma Stone.
She got red hair.
Ugh. I don't know. This could be good. It's got a winning cast.
And I like heist films. Yeah. I think heist films can be a lot of fun, so I'm going to give it a shot. Certainly, I'm going to see it over After Earth.
But which one will you review for the Minettis?
I'll review Now You See Me. Now we come to June, and June is a very busy month. Almost every weekend, you got multiple movies. Not that we want to see them all, but
I think every weekend you have multiple movies.
Yeah. But, you know, like, multiple movies that could be good. Or not. We'll see. the first weekend, you have The Internship.
Now, this is Vince Vaughn and
Owen Wilson.
Oh, this is the reunion
Wedding
of
Crashers.
Wedding Crashers. Because, you know, it only took them 10 years to get around to this.
They had to come up with another great concept.
Are you fucking kidding me? This is like when Sony decided to make another Zorro film 15 years later. Catherine Zeta-Jones was all swollen, and Antonio Banderas could barely get on a horse.
Basically, Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, they get an internship at Google, and Google Good. Is played by Google.
Topical, really,
The thing that I don't get about this premise, and it could very well end up being amusing enough of a film, but the thing I don't get about it is that these guys in the trailer seem blissfully unaware of the internet or the fact that there's a thing called Google. Like, they seem really unaware of everything.
This feels like a script that was around in 2005, and just through the wonders that is the Hollywood development process, it's only now getting made.
Well, I read an interview with Vince Vaughn where he said he came up with the concept after seeing a 60-minute story on interns at Google.
Just the fact that he's watching 60 Minutes speaks to how old he is and how out of touch he is. We don't have 60 Minutes anymore. We got 6 seconds. It's all about Vine,
right.
Vince Vaughn. No time for 60 Minutes.
You and me should do a 60 Minutes style news show on Vine.
Called 6 Seconds?
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first, folks.
Also that weekend... Much Ado About Nothing, which is the modern telling of the Shakespeare story by way of Joss Whedon.
This looks phenomenal. He shot this. He's been obsessed with this play. It's been one of his favorites. It's a witty romantic comedy about two warring lovers, Benedict and Beatrice, and it's a fantastic play. Joss Whedon has always loved it, and for his, I think, 20th wedding anniversary, his wife suggested instead of them going on a trip, why not spend the money and make the film he's always wanted to? They opened their whole house up. He got his buddies. They shot it in 11 days.
They've got all the Nathan Fillion and Amy Acker and all the Whedon regulars.
Yeah,
from
and Alex Denisoff and it looks
Greg, all these people.
They shot it in beautiful black and white, and it just looks like a fun passion project they threw together. And I think this is going to be really good.
I'm sure it's going to be good, and I'm sure I'll end up seeing it. I'm not that juiced about it. Maybe because I've already seen versions of Much Ado About Nothing.
How many versions of Much Ado About Nothing have you seen?
I've seen one.
Which one?
Kenneth Branagh.
Is that the one with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, the other thing is maybe I'm getting pushing back against every Whedonite and every hipster girl I know who's all about this movie and has been talking about this forever, and maybe that's rubbing me the wrong way about it.
I say you go in with an open mind, and one other thing, please don't refer to Shakespeare as the Bard. That really bothers me. Just got to get that out there.
Well, yeah, I bet you're going to see that a lot when the reviews start coming out. One of the Bard's finest plays.
The Bard. Go fuck yourself. So I will be seeing Much Ado About Nothing. I will be doing much about this film. Yeah, that happened.
Well, the week after that, we have a middle-of-the-week film.
Wait, which week is it? Okay, so now we're on June 12th.
June 12th. It's a Wednesday, and we've got This Is the End, which is the first of two end-of-the-world comedies coming out this summer. And I love movies about the end of the world, particularly comedies about the end of the world.
Now, this is a movie directed by
Seth Rogen
and Evan Goldberg. Goldberg, yeah. this is the movie by, I don't know, the guys, Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
It's just a stoner comedy set in the end of the world, but why this movie looks fun is the actors, James Franco, Craig Robinson, they're all playing themselves.
The end of the world happens while they're all at a party at James Franco's house.
Exactly.
And, like, Michael Cera's all coked up and...
Like he is. And, you know, like I said, they all play versions of themselves. It could be fun. It could also be just a masturbatory, you know, project that is not as funny as the trailers would lead you to believe because all the funny bits are in the trailer.
I'm in, like I said, I like End of the World. I like those guys, too. I know some people are sick of all of them. I still find Seth Rogen funny. I still like these guys.
What's the other... Oh, it's World War Z?
No, we'll get to that later. But, I'm in for This Is the End. And the reason,
Blue Jasmine?
I'll get to it. We'll get to it. Be patient. This got moved to a Wednesday, probably because they didn't want to compete in a very big weekend, and maybe the big movie of the summer after Iron Man that I was looking forward to.
Sofia Coppola's
Man of Steel. Man of Steel.
Known as Superman.
Yes.
Comes out June 14th.
And I'm all in. I think the trailers look great. They need to do something with Superman. I'm sure we'll be talking about this a lot as we get closer, but they needed to do something with Superman. They need to reinvent him a little bit, because that last Superman movie, although some people we know may argue it's the greatest film of the last decade.
And those people are wrong, dead wrong.
But no, it wasn't very good. I think it kind of started off good, and then it just de-evolved into this Bryan Singer mess, where this looks like, you know...
It was about a real estate scam. The big plot was real estate.
And that's one of the things I like about this, because there's no Lex Luthor villain. Zod is the villain.
The great Michael Shannon.
And, you know, you got a good cast. You got Russell Crowe's Jor-El, and you got Kevin Costner as Pa Kent.
I hope they have a Field of Dreams reference where he's playing baseball with in the cornfield with young Clark. This movie looks... It's directed by Zack Snyder, who directed Rise of the Guardians and Sucker Punch.
He did not direct Rise of the Guardians.
I'm sorry, The Guardians of Ga'Hoole.
Yes.
Another animated film that...
But he also did Watchmen.
He did Watchmen, which I have mixed feelings about. And he did 300, which is actually one of my favorite movies of that year. I love 300. This movie, my biggest fear is that the style overwhelms the story. But you do have Christopher Nolan in there, so I'm sure the story and the visuals will be completely overstuffed. And if you think about it for more than 3 seconds, it'll fall apart. But I'm excited for this.
I think it's going to be fun.
Henry Cavill looks really good as Superman, and Amy Adams looks good as Lois Lane?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Amy Adams always looks good.
She does. Going in with high hopes for this film.
So we got Sofia Coppola's Man of Steel, and then we have
Zack Snyder's
The Bling Ring. Now, Sofia Coppola's new film, The Bling Ring, which is based off a true story of these girls who...
Well, it's girls and guys. It was like one guy. Bunch of douchebags.
But these young rich girls who started robbing rich people.
Like Paris Hilton, and who else did they rob?
Lindsay Lohan. And they ended up getting a reality show on E!, by the way.
Really? Well, that E! Network, they can do no wrong.
Every
decision they make is
gold. Yeah. Gold.
Except for Ryan Lochte, apparently.
This movie, I'm a big Sofia Coppola fan, and I think she handles a lot of themes about celebrity and things like this really well. Even when the movie doesn't quite work for me, like Marie Antoinette, I always like what she's trying to
say. See, I love Marie Antoinette. I think Marie Antoinette really is just a movie about celebrity.
Yeah.
And about living a privileged life and kind of the boredom that comes along with that. The movie I didn't like was Somewhere. I thought the boredom overwhelmed.
I agree. I think there are moments where I actually like it, but it doesn't quite work for me. But again, she's saying similar things, and I think she's going to be really good.
And this movie stars Emma Watson, who is... I love her more with every passing day. I finally saw Perks of Being a Wallflower, which if you have not seen that, I cannot recommend it enough. And I'm... this is two movies. This is Zach Fox's weekend. You got Superman and Bling Ring. I don't know
and
what
also,
he's
Emma Watson's in This Is the End as herself.
I don't know what he's going to do. This is going to be... I hope he's done working on that thing he's working on, because if not, he's going to die.
Our friend Zach Fox, he loves... The two things he loves most of all are Superman and Emma Watson, but I'll tell you what, he's going to be masturbating more to Superman than Emma Watson.
I don't know. We'll see. We got money on this.
June 21st, we have an animated film, finally, that might be good, because it's a new Pixar film, and it's Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc. And Monsters, Inc., I think, is really good. I think it's actually one of the flat-out funnier Pixar movies.
Yeah, but you know, when I saw Monsters Incorporated, all I thought was, I need a prequel to this. I need to see how they got to where they are.
I gotta say, though, I think doing a prequel is probably a more interesting way of handling these characters than doing a sequel.
And because it is an animated film, it's much easier. You don't have the problem of either recasting or dealing with actors who are clearly 10 years older playing versions of themselves 20 years younger.
You know, Pixar, the past couple... I mean, Toy Story 3... After Toy Story 3, you had Cars 2, which, meh. And Brave, which I found disappointing. So I'm really hoping maybe...
Is this their first film since Brave?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because Disney came out Wreck-It Ralph, which was in many ways a Pixar film.
It was very Pixar-y.
Yeah. This could be really good, though, so I'm excited, and, you know, the chemistry between John Goodman and Billy Crystal's phenomenal in that film, so high hopes.
That same weekend, counter-programming, World War Z, which is the much troubled production... based off the Max Brooks book, World War Z. Brad Pitt's producing this, and he's starring in it. And I'm actually hearing that it's quite good.
Well, what they did was, this movie, like we said, was much troubled. Directed by Mark Forster, who's known for Machine Gun Preacher, Finding Neverland, and Monsters Ball. He's done a lot of movies in a bunch of different genres. Stranger Than Fiction,
Kite Runner.
So he's kind of a director. Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
So he's kind of a director for hire. I guess the issue with this film was it takes place during or after the zombie apocalypse. We're not quite sure.
It takes place during. The book takes place afterwards, and it's all about stories being told around the world. This looks like it diverts majorly from the book.
Right, so the issue was whether they wanted this movie to have a stupid open-ended ending and set it up for a sequel, or whether they wanted a more satisfying ending that would then earn an audience fan base which would allow them to make a sequel. What they did was they realized their third act was a mess. They brought in Damon Lindelof, the writer,
yes,
the creative mind behind Lost and Prometheus and Star Trek, a brilliant writer. They showed him the first two acts of the film, and then they turned it off, and they said, we're not showing you what we have. We want you to come up with an ending. And apparently what he came up with, they went back and they spent like $20 million redoing this film. So now what I'm hearing from preview screenings is that it's actually really good.
Yeah, but I'm a little concerned that it's not going to do that, because I think it does have a lot of bad previous buzz. And I'm not sure if people know what to make of it. It's also coming out the weekend after Superman, and I gotta imagine Superman's gonna, much like Iron Man this past weekend, is gonna have a lot of carryover and repeat viewing. And
so unless Superman sucks.
Unless Superman
or
sucks.
Or Bling Ring opens to $220 million and blows out the Avengers.
I'm excited for Bling Ring. I'll give it $200 million.
IMAX 3D.
IMAX 3D. Emma Watson. Then we move on to July 28th. June 28th. And our sources tell us that a very fun movie is coming out that weekend. We have an inside source on this movie, White House Down. And I hear it's a good time.
Now, Will, didn't I already see this movie in March?
You may have, and it was called Olympus Has Fallen. So this would be actually Olympus Has Fallen 2, The Quickening.
The Quickening. So instead of this being the year of magician films, can we call it the year of bad security at the White House?
Yes, let's hope for Obama's sake that doesn't carry over to real
life. Well, this movie apparently has more of a buddy feel to it. It's got C. Tates and Jamie Foxx, I don't know, protecting the White House from vaguely ethnic terrorists.
Yes.
Okay.
It's everybody's vaguely ethnic now, or North Korean.
Or North Korean, or works for a corporation.
It looks like this could be a good time.
Now, though, this is PG-13. It's directed by Roland Emmerich, who directed 2012, 10,000 BC, ID4, lots of movies and numbers in the title.
He just kind of... I kind of like Emmerich because even when his movies aren't that great, he doesn't take them too seriously.
He knows he's making a popcorn film, and that's what he's given us. So, you know, this could be a lot of fun, and, you know...
Also that weekend, we have The Heat. the new Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy, buddy cop movie. Here's my take on this. It's probably very funny. Paul Feig directed it, who did Bridesmaids.
And, yeah, Adventureland.
And, no, he didn't direct
No, who, that was Greg Modula.
Greg Modula, yeah.
He directed a Ted, no, not Ted, Al, Paul, that was the one.
He also directed that, yeah. No, yeah. Paul Feig?
Yeah, who directed Greg Modula?
Yeah.
So what else did Paul Feig direct? And he's done a lot
he
of The Office.
He's done a lot of television, like Freaks and Geeks back in the day, a lot of The Office, stuff like that.
Whatever. Okay, so some
the point is, The Heat is a buddy cop movie, Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy. My problem with this is Melissa McCarthy seems to be playing the same character in everything, and I just wonder how long she can keep doing that.
As long as they give her checks.
She's brilliant at it, but eventually I feel I will grow tired of it.
Didn't we just have this movie earlier this year with Jason Bateman?
Yeah, you had Jason Bateman instead of Sandra Bullock. Although this one's probably better.
Okay. So we'll see. I feel like it'll get a little lost, but who knows.
So then we move to July, and the big July 4th weekend.
The America film.
The Lone Ranger. I'm going to see it, but I could give two shits.
Now, this is directed by Gore Verbinski, who's known for Mouse Hunt and The Weatherman.
He has also directed all the Pirates films.
No, only the three. He didn't do the
first three Pirates
films. The ones that matter.
And my one hope with The Lone Rangers is going into Pirates of the Caribbean, I said, who cares about pirates? And then I'm like, oh, this is fucking fun. So maybe The Lone Ranger could be good?
It's got trains and guns and Johnny Depp once again playing a vaguely ethnic Indian.
Yeah.
So,
well, he's like 1/8 Cherokee.
What? Who gives a shit? That doesn't give him license to paint his face white and run around with a crow on his head. Barely allows him to step foot in a casino.
Are you looking forward to The Lone Ranger?
No, I think I'll end up seeing it, but I'm not excited for it. I know it's going to be it's also produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. I know it's going to be a special effects film done as well as it can be done. I'm reserving my judgment, but, you know, I feel like around that weekend, there'll be nothing else out that I haven't seen.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, what the hell else are we going to see?
So,
July 4th, what are we going
to we could just not go to the theaters.
What, and go to, like, a barbecue and be outside, poolside or something?
All right, so Lone Ranger, we will be there opening day.
Fuck you, sunshine. We're seeing a Lone Ranger, an Army Hammer, and a giant hat.
But now, July 12th, the movie I'm really waiting for.
July 12th. Look, this is what, I mean, we are really excited
there
for
this. There are sequels, and there are sequels.
And this might be the sequel. Fuck Star Trek, Iron Man 3, Hangover 3. We've got Adam Sandler's epic conclusion to the Grown Ups series, Grown Ups 2.
The Quickening.
The Quickening. Grown Ups 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Now, this reunites the whole team, except for,
I believe, Rob Schneider.
Yes.
Because he's like a dick and complains.
And he got into a fight with Adam Sandler, and so I guess what I've been told is this movie starts at the funeral of Rob Schneider's character.
If only it could start at the funeral of all their characters. What the fuck? This fucking movie.
Listen, Adam Sandler found a way to have Sony pay for him and all his buddies to go on vacation with their kids and make a couple $1 million and phone in a film that, guess what, does well.
Well, so, I guess I'll give him credit for that, but you know what? Anyone who goes sees this, go fuck yourself. You're part of the problem. I mean, there's a scene in the trailer where Kevin James has a raft come out of his crotch, an inflatable raft. He's wearing a thing
this
on his
sounds hilarious.
A fanny pack, and he pulls a thing, and a big raft comes out, and it's attached to his crotch.
Sign me up now.
But that same weekend, we have Guillermo del Toro's new film, Pacific Rim.
This is robots fighting.
Robots fighting monsters.
I don't know about this movie.
It's like, it opens up like another dimension. There's like this Lovecraft kind of feel.
Guillermo del Toro has never been terribly commercially successful. This is a huge gamble by Warner Brothers. I feel like it's another one of these movies where, because of Comic-Con and the Geek Boy buzz, they think they have something bigger than what they actually have.
And it's not going to do all that well, is it?
It's not, and no women will see this movie.
I remember, you talk about Geek Boy buzz, I remember Scott Pilgrim being the prime example of a film, and I know it's a very different
or even Sucker Punch, or any of these films.
Well, but I don't remember that having as much, but I remember Scott Pilgrim comes out of Comic-Con, and everyone's like, this is going to be the biggest hit ever, because all the geeks at Comic-Con, and Scott Pilgrim's a great film, and then nobody saw it, because it was just this group of geeks, and I feel Del Toro has that same kind of just a group of geeks.
I think he should stick to, honestly, I know he loves monsters and aliens and big shit. I think he should stick to movies like Pan's Labyrinth, which is just fucking brilliant and smaller.
Oh, you ever see The Devil's Backbone?
I have not, but I heard it's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's really terrific. And it's like a ghost story, but it has this kind of Spanish War background to it. Kind of like...
But the best Guillermo del Toro movie, Phantoms, with Ben Affleck.
Did he do that? I don't think
that
he
was
did
his
that.
First American film.
He did
film?
Mimic.
Mimic, that's the one. Never mind. Who did Phantoms?
I don't know. Nobody good. The bomb in Phantoms.
Well, I don't know. I think this movie will be fun, but I also think it's not going to do so well.
But then July 19th.
Yes, birthday weekend.
Fuck yeah, it's Sean's birthday weekend. He's got, I mean, look, I have Superman my birthday weekend, but I would rather have this movie.
I'm not trading birthdays with you.
Fuck yeah, Only God Forgives. Tell us about Only God Forgives.
This is the next film with Ryan Gosling and Nicholas Refn, who did Drive, which was Will's favorite movie of last year.
So far, my favorite film of this decade.
Wow, big praise. Although Cloud Atlas, I think, is coming up right on the heels. This movie finds Ryan Gosling as an American living in Thailand, embroiled in the underground world of Thai boxing. Or Thai kickboxing. It's going to be bloody, it's going to be violent, it's going to be insane, and Kristen Scott Thomas plays his mother, with whom he's got a vaguely Oedipal issue going on.
Yeah, apparently there's quite the relationship.
This movie just looks nutso, and I guess the main Thai actor is a huge star in Taiwanese cinema, so...
I can't wait.
Thailand or Taiwan? What are we talking about here? Which one of these countries? I should know. I think it's Thailand.
I think it's Thailand, too.
Okay, good.
Thailand,
yes. Where M. Bison fights in the end of Street Fighter 2.
I will follow these two anywhere after Drive. Oh, my God.
But you know what? Unless Ryan Gosling eats his cereal, this movie's not coming out.
Exactly.
Ryan Gosling, you better eat your cereal.
Yeah. Captain Crunch. And then the weekend of July 26th, here's a movie I know I'm going to have to see. And God, I don't want to. The Wolverine.
Which, this is a sequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine, which in itself is a spin-off of X-Men 3 The Last Stand, which is a sequel to X-Men 2, which is a follow-up to X-Men.
I'm
getting sick of these characters.
I am sick of Wolverine because that last Wolverine movie was so shitty. I mean, it looked like he had Roger Rabbit claws. Like, I don't understand how the technology got worse to make the film. And the other thing is, I loved the last X-Men movie, The First Class. I think it's the best X-Men movie. Wolverine's not in it, and I was glad he wasn't in it. I don't want to deal with fucking Wolverine. Now Wolverine's in Japan, hanging out with some weird alien-looking Japanese girl.
Her face is too big, her head's too small. This reminds me of Karate Kid 2. Maybe Wolverine's going to defeat the bad guy by punching him left and right repeatedly, like Daniel's son.
I can't deal with Wolverine.
In the trailer, there's one line where Hugh Jackman says something to the effect of, "I'm not the man that I used to be." And the next thought that popped into my head was, "I'm Jean Valjean." And I half expected him... Listen, he's 50. Leave poor Hugh Jackman alone. He had to go through crazy fitness regimes to get his body into shape for this. He's on steroids. He's got no body fat. He's eating rice and donkey piss. Like, come on, poor Hugh Jackman. Let him just sing and dance on Broadway. And enough with these Wolverine films.
I hope this is the end of them.
And this is directed by...
James Mangold.
You know, who directed my favorite film, 301 to 309 to Yuma.
Yes.
And what was that one with the motel with John Cusack?
Identity?
Yeah, that was essentially... If you've ever seen Adaptation, the plot that Donald Kaufman comes up with for the three, that is the plot of Identity. Spoiler alert, all the characters take place in the mind of a schizophrenic man.
Yep.
It's a shitty, shitty movie.
That's anticlimactic. That same weekend, I got some of my own counter-program, because Woody Allen's new movie, The Blue Jasmine, comes out. I don't know anything about it other than that it's a Woody Allen movie, so it's probably going to have very similar themes to every Woody Allen movie, which means even if it's not as good as A Midnight in Paris, it'll still be something enjoyable to watch.
It's no Scoop or Curse of the Jade Scorpion. How come every time Woody Allen tries to do a detective film or some movie with a mystery plot, it's always crap? Manhattan Murder Mystery, Scoop, Curse of the Jade Scorpion, stay away from that, Woody.
He's not good with that. I don't really, like I said, I don't really know too much about Blue Jasmine, but a bad Woody Allen movie is...
It's a bad Woody Allen movie.
No, but I mean, a bad Woody Allen movie is still more enjoyable for me, like, than, like, if Wolverine's bad, you know what I mean?
What I love about upcoming Woody Allen movies is, until about a week before it comes out, all we ever know is a cast list and what city it was shot in.
Yeah, and this one's San Francisco.
And it's got Louis C.K., Alec Baldwin,
Cate Blanchett,
Andrew Dice Clay. Is Wallace Shawn in there somewhere?
I'm sure he'll pop up.
But I don't know. But yeah, that's all we know. It's just like, hey, he's making a movie with these people, here's a title, and it's shot in this city. Just shut up and pay your money.
More counter-programming that weekend. It got pushed up. The To-Do List with Aubrey Plaza, and it's basically Aubrey Plaza plays a young lady who's attempting to do various sexual things on her to-do list. I am all about this movie.
This is also the plot of The Wolverine.
This is also every sexual fantasy I've had.
This looks fun. It's a little indie film, but, you know, it's got Aubrey Plaza sexing it up a little bit, hopefully.
I mean,
although I don't know if I want to see Aubrey Plaza as a sex object.
I find her sexy by not being sexy, if that makes sense.
Okay, what is this, like, there is no door? There is no spoon?
Like, I find her with her, like, kind of deadpan, apathetic look to, I find that sexy because I have deep-rooted emotional and sexual issues.
All right, well, on that note,
we're going to move on to August 2nd. Don't refer to the notes on this one. August 2nd, we have Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, the second page.
And with Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington. I don't know if I care to see these two playing. They're like, you're a DA agent, you're a cop, oh, we were both undercover on the same thing. But now they're like actually crooks, they're actually real people. I don't know, I saw the trailer, who knows?
They got two guns.
They got two guns, and a lot of my man, and say hello to your mother for me. And
all right, what we're going to do is we're going to roll the gun. We got to roll this gun.
I mean, I don't know. I'll see it. There's nothing else that weekend.
But the weekend after.
This is a movie I'm very excited for. This is one of the top movies I'm excited for the summer. Elysium. You want to...
This is the follow-up to District 9 by director Neil Blomkamp. And this movie stars Matt Damon and
Jodie Foster.
That's it. I was going to say Hilary Swank for some reason. This movie, I actually have not watched it. I've avoided watching anything because I want to be a little surprised by this film. I'm just staying away from everything. It's got great pedigree. I trust everyone involved.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go into this movie cold.
If you can, dude. The trailer looks interesting. I think the trailer doesn't give a lot, but it might give enough. I mean, it is a film that basically, just to really to tell our people listening, it's
because I didn't do anything of that sort.
It's... The rich live in outer space, and the rest of us, the 99%, we have to toil here on Earth.
And then Will Smith and Tom Cruise are there doing something, right?
They film this all at a garbage dump.
Interesting.
At a toxic garbage
dump. So Staten Island.
Yeah, they filmed it in Staten Island. They filmed it in, like, a really disgusting dump, I think, in South Africa.
What, same thing in District 9. What, is he just, like, filming movies at garbage heaps?
They had to wear, like, respirators in between takes.
Seriously?
And stuff. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, I'm excited for this film. Like I said, mainly based on the strength of who's involved.
Moving right along.
Yeah, no, that's good. You got it.
August 16th.
Yeah.
Kick-Ass 2. Now, I enjoyed Kick-Ass. I don't think I liked Kick-Ass as much as some people I know did. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. Mostly because of Hit Girl. She was the best. But here's
played
my,
by the brilliant Chloe Grace Moretz.
Here's my question about Hit Girl in Kick-Ass 2. Is she too old to be funny and too young to be sexualized?
She was about 15, almost 16 when they shot this. So in Kick-Ass, a lot of the fun came from the fact that you have this 12-year-old girl calling people cunt and cursing and being just filthy. Now she's in that in-between phase where it's not shocking to hear a 16-year-old cursing,
No. But
she's still too young to view her, like you said, as a sex object. Also, this is a different director. The last one was directed by
Matthew Vaughn,
who went on to do X-Men First Class. And this is someone new, and the film from the trailer looks kind of flat.
Yeah.
Everyone just seems a little too old for this to really work. And the big get here is Jim Carrey playing Captain Patriot Man. What's his
name? Something like that.
It's apparently
Sergeant
Kick-Ass, or who knows. I'm not as excited for this film as I was for the first one. We'll see, but I think it's not going to work.
I like the first one, but I don't think it's all that great. I don't think it deserves.
I think it's good. I think it's. I think you know what? I think it's better than Super. Actually,
see, I like Super better than
that. That Kick-Ass really walked that line between being a good, solid action movie and being a shocking deconstruction of the superhero genre. Well, I can't believe that sentence came out of my mouth. Where Super was too much about the deconstruction, and because of the budget, I think it suffered in other respects.
That's true. I mean, Super is very low budget. But, I mean, they have Ellen Page in the movie Super going crazy, which I kind of like.
So, Kick-Ass 2, I'm going to have to wait till we get a little closer. I'll probably end up seeing this, I'm not as excited.
August 23rd, here's the other End of the World movie.
Right.
The World's End, which is the new film from Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, the crew who gave us a Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
And the brilliant Scott Pilgrim. Well, they weren't in Scott Pilgrim, but
Edgar
Wright
directed Scott Pilgrim. But it's, you know, with Shaun of the Dead, it was like a romantic comedy zombie film, and Hot Fuzz was their take on action movies, and this is their take on end-of-the-world movies.
Well, they said that they only watch, it's about a group of people that reunite after 10 or 15 years to finish this epic pub crawl that they couldn't finish in their younger days.
And they go from pub to pub, and the last pub is called The World's End.
And during this pub crawl, I guess the invasion of the body snatchers happens. They said that, Simon Pegg said that before they made Hot Fuzz, they watched 100 cop films. Before they made Shaun of the Dead, they watched all the zombie films. They only watched one movie before prepping for this, which is The Big Chill.
Really?
So that's what they're going for.
That's interesting. I think that's going to be great. They haven't failed us yet. Also that weekend, there's an interesting little horror film coming out called You're Next, which is getting a lot of buzz, and I hear it's really terrific. It did really well at South by Southwest, and it's apparently darkly comic, but it's about this family who's at this house for a reunion, and these people start to come in to kill them, kind of like that movie The Strangers, except maybe good.
As long as there's no vampires, zombies, or werewolves, I think I'll be okay.
And we end the summer August 30th.
It's been all leading up to this.
It's all been leading up to this. The movie Me and Sean, we said it was Grown Ups 2, but no, really it's this. We are most excited about this. The whole summer builds to this one moment. One Direction, This Is Us. Oh my God!
The concert film directed by the brilliant documentarian
Morgan Spurlock.
You
know him from eating all that McDonald's. Well, now he's following One Direction around with a camera.
I think we're going to have to see this movie with Alyssa Vaughn and Andrea Marchand.
And I don't even know a One Direction song.
They do the one about Baby? No.
Baby.
No,
baby,
that was just a Bieber.
Baby.
I know the song. It's in my head. I can't remember what
it
is.
Did they sing that one like Something Beautiful?
Yes, that's the one.
You don't know you're beautiful. That's
right.
Them.
3D IMAX?
3D IMAX movie of the summer. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. One Direction. Now, I talked about the Aubrey Plaza movie giving me something to masturbate to. One Direction.
Too far.
So as I said when we started this, I said all those hours ago,
this is supposed to be a short episode.
We waited. It's a big, busy summer. We waited 2 weeks into this, and as far to do the summer movie preview. And as far as I'm concerned, we should have waited even longer. Because here's what I got a problem with summer movie season. It's not even fucking summer. It's May. You know when summer starts? June 21st. As far as I'm concerned, the first movie of the summer should be Monsters University, not fucking Iron Man 3. You're starting way too early on this. I could even handle Memorial Day, maybe the unofficial start of summer, but no. Hollywood, you're pissing me off because you are trying to dictate the seasons. You are trying to change Mother Nature, and I will not have this. I will not stand for the laws of nature to be changed by Hollywood. It's not May 3rd. You know, buy a fucking calendar, Hollywood, because you don't know what's going on. And that's why you, summer movie season, is the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you. Fuck you. And you know what? I saw a commercial in March for Olympus Has Fallen, a.k.a. the prequel to White House Down. And then the ad, it said, the summer starts early. It wasn't even spring. What are we doing? It makes no sense. Next, I tell you, what comes out? What's the big Christmas release this year? What's the big movie that comes out of Christmas?
Wolf of Wall Street?
What's the big... Oh, The Hobbit. When The Hobbit comes out, they're going to go, the summer starts early. The Hobbit. It's going to be fucking December. Get your season straight. But no, in all seriousness, next year we are going to have the problem. Captain America 2 comes out early.
The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, The Winter Soldier comes out in spring, but they're going to say summer starts in April now. That's what they're going to do. I can't deal with this. Either that, or I demand, if you're going to do this, Hollywood, have whoever does the calendars.
The Jews.
Have the Jews or the Farmer's Almanac or somebody just rewrite it. Just, you know what? We have one season now and it's summer.
Global warming is here. I guess we get 9 months of summer.
It's going to be like, no.
You get a 6 week winter and 9 months of summer.
Hollywood is like Westeros in Game of Thrones. Hollywood has just one long season. They have a really long summer, and then winter is coming, and they have a really long. They have two seasons.
That's it.
Game of Hollywood, you're Game of Thrones. Fuck you, summer.
Now, what if you live in Australia and all this shit's flipped around?
What do they have?
The winter movie season.
How do they market their award season movies?
The summer is award season, and the winter is the big movie time.
Well, that's really weird.
Yeah, fuck you, Australia. Get with the program.
You know, that makes more sense, though, because you want to be in some place when it's freezing out.
I want to be in some place when it's hot out.
Yeah, that's true. I want to be in
both. I live in Los Angeles. Come on. The winter here is like 72 and beautiful.
If it's not in the 70s, I will stay inside.
With blankets.
Yeah.
So,
where does this end, Sean? Where does this end?
An asteroid. With a bang. Not with a whimper.
Probably.
So that's our summer movie preview wrap-up. We hope you guys have a little... more confidence making your choices as you go into this endless summer season.
Do you think this is going to be a good summer? Because I think this is going to be actually a good summer.
I think it's going to be a solid summer. There's a lot of things I'm looking forward to. You know, and I think we're going to have our surprise hits, and we're going to have our not-so-surprising bombs. And it's a very overstuffed summer, so we're going to have to plan accordingly, people. Make sure you're staying up with the calendar, because if not, you're going to get swarmed over by a cornucopia of films.
Like, if you didn't see Star Trek this weekend, well,
And you haven't seen Gatsby yet, and you haven't seen Iron Man, forget it. You're done.
Fucked. You might as well just kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're not catching up. So, you know what? The moral of this story is, don't volunteer, don't...
go outside.
Don't go outside, and if you missed Iron Man 3 at this point, slit your wrists in the bathtub.
On next week's show...
next week, do you want to plug first? You want to do the thing where you plug?
Oh, we're plugging, that's right.
Why not?
I'm a little thrown off, because we just did this 36 hours ago. You can find me at Twitter, at TheSeanDavid. You can also like me on Facebook. You can, as usual, buy and download to summer. If you're not going to the movies, get some reading done, folks.
Yeah, sit at the beach and read his book.
Triumvirs, Triumvirs, Three Tales. I will also be performing at Tattletales on June 13th. At Shetty's Public House. It is a Canadian bar on 3rd and Fairfax, but we'll be speaking more about that a little closer to the date.
And you can play him on Letterpress.
And you can play... Thank you. See, I turned you.
I spoke to another fan of the podcast who says that they will not play you on these things and they're intimidated by you.
Who?
I'll tell you after the show.
All right.
Or maybe they don't want to feed into you. One or the other.
No one wants to feed into me. Like a gremlin.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies. Throughout the summer, I'll be reviewing all these movies like One Direction, This Is Us.
I really think you should do that, honestly.
I should. And you can also read articles of mine at u1can.com. Can, like the city in France. I have an article about Ewoks up there right now. And I will also be performing at Tattletales on May 23rd at Shetty's Public... Is it Public House or Public Parlor?
Doesn't matter. It's Shetty.
At Shetty's.
It's like Shitty with an E, two D's, and a Y.
8 p.m. It's free. Come see me on the 23rd. Come see him on the 13th. And hopefully this is just the start of us performing lots of things at lots of places.
Yep.
We have to figure that out. That's another issue in my life. Next week on the show, Liz Feamy. She is a writer and performer in the new play, Take Me to the Poorhouse. Sean, I know you in particular are very taken with this project.
Yeah, we saw her do a preview of this at the FET already about 8 months ago. It's a one-woman show, although I believe there is one or two other actors filling in side roles. She was born and raised in Nigeria, and she tells her story, but she's a very talented, very animated actress. And from the 10-minute bit that she did for us, it's amazing how she can slide in and out of the various characters, and she tells tales of growing up, being a schoolgirl, leaving, I believe it's Nigeria, I could be getting this all wrong.
Racist.
Africa. She comes from Africa. But I'm very excited to see this, and I think she's going to be a wonderful guest. Like I said, very dynamic, very quick, and it's going to be a good show.
Very excited to have her on. And the week after that, we have Mark Sykes.
There's a name you can't blow.
Who's producing a documentary on Roger Corman's unreleased Fantastic Four film, which is, I've always been fascinated by Corman and the way he operates, and this is a film that he made, you know, which has big rights to it, you know, it's a Fantastic Four, it's DC, and I want to hear more of the story of this, so he should be a very interesting guest as well. And we're talking about some good June guests, we're talking about some not-so-good June guests, but we'll be telling you some of those in the upcoming weeks.
So, that's it, folks. Stay indoors, stay cool, stay out of the sun, nature will kill you. For the Will Sean Podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.